Well, I'm filling in for Brother Hampton today, and I want to welcome everyone here to the church building, and also those folks on the internet. We welcome you again today. I'm sorry if I disappointed you by Barry not being the teacher this morning, but he's out of town, and he should be back Wednesday night. And y'all tune in that night as well. Today, I'm going to continue with an idea I had a couple of weeks ago when I was teaching the Wednesday night class, and I didn't quite finish all of my thoughts. So we were talking about the word faith and what faith means, and I found out in my lifetime and in discussing the topic with others and hearing various preachers and teachers talking about faith that there's a wide range of ideas about what it really means. And I know in my life, I had it all wrong all of my life. And I just want to continue that idea a little bit. And turn to Revelations 2, verse 6. Well, I'll just drop on down to 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And in my lifetime, that verse used to scare me, just scared me. Because I said, I don't know if I can remain faithful. If I look at my history, I'm not doing a very good job. Because in my mind, I had the idea that faith was a continuous, steady, straight line walk that you were walking. And any departure from that was departing, and you might not come back. And the idea is also found in Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, and I used to think the house was the church, and in many respects it is the church. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end? That means, that was another verse that frightened me. And then Hebrews 6. Therefore, 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection. And I thought to myself when I hear that verse read, how do I reach perfection? Let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands and resurrection of dead, and of eternal judgment. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and I took that to mean once I heard something, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, that was clear to me, and it was clear to me all of my life, up until a few years ago, that I had no hope. Because I knew I could not reach this state of perfection that I read about. And that I could not and that I had fallen away from it. It was a fact. I had fallen away from it. I had fallen away from God. I had fought. Many times I'd garner a little faith and say, okay, I'm going to straighten up. And then I'd fall away. And I said, well, which time was it that I fell away that I wouldn't have a chance of repentance? And so you had this burden on you. And I'm going to go to the board and tell you what my idea was. This is my lifetime. I'm going to die here one day. It's appointed unto man wants to die. And right here, I made a decision that I was going to do something. I was going to turn to God. I was going to join the church. And I was in a system that said you did certain things. And what I did was, is I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. That was the gospel that I believed. Jesus is the Son of God. And I confessed that before men. And then I was baptized. And at that moment, I was saved. And when that moment ended, I was potentially a lost person. Because I had all of this out here that I had to try to reach that perfection. And many of you that are listening on the internet, and some sitting in this audience, that's your view. And all of this time period between here, you have to do things that show you have this faith that was talked about in Hebrews and it was talked about in Revelation. And that's what we started the lesson with the Wednesday that we had this class. And we didn't get through much beyond this idea. This thing of faith. Well, we discovered that the faith that was spoken of in that dispensation that's spoken of in Hebrews and in Revelation, and we looked at Matthew and saw how the same idea was in Matthew, and we found out that that Jesus Christ came to the earth and he put additional requirements beyond the law. For example, he said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And he meant that literally. He said, if you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery. Found out it's even tougher than what the law required. And anyone who follows that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, has to see it's hard to reach perfection.
Amen.
How do I do it? And thank goodness, thank God, that I found out why it's the way it is. And you can only determine that by hearing. We look in Romans 10:17. So then, it's a very simple verse. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, what I tried to do all of my life was try somehow to work it out, this faith. I've got to go do something. And then, and a lot of that was a show of pride. I would show someone else that I have faith, and that must mean that I have faith if I'm showing someone else I have the faith. Not thinking really so much of God, as more concerned about the people around me. And you'll find that going on quite a bit in churches everywhere. That it's all a manner of show. Because they're striving for something. They really don't know what it is they're striving for, but it has something to do with one day reaching this state of perfection. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Romans 12:3, I believe that's right. Nope, that's not the right verse. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So hear this word, faithful men. Who too? Look at verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. This is Paul speaking. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. There, and look at verse 8. Well, verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 2 Timothy 4. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Now, Paul said, I've kept the faith. And he was going to get a crown. He was going to get a reward for having kept the faith. Didn't say he was going to be saved because he had kept the faith. Didn't say he was going to be perfect because he kept the faith. Said he was going to be rewarded for keeping the faith. So that's a very important point. And we'll expound on that and we'll learn more about that as we go through the lesson. The verse I was trying to think of a while ago was not in Romans, but in Hebrews. If you will, turn to Hebrews 11. So we're going to talk about the faith that Paul kept. Hebrews 11. Now, and here's a definition. This whole chapter is about faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in chapter 11, it's called a great cloud of witnesses. It's a lot of folks in the Old Testament that had faith. They heard God say something, and they believed God. Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear God, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So, I don't know that we can depend on faith from someone who's given us things to do. God gives us things to do, but an organization who puts you to doing something and that's your faith, that's not where you get faith. Faith does not come from doing things.
Amen.
Faith does not come from making yourself do certain things. And that's the big error in thinking in the world today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm not going to try to get into explaining that particular verse, but I know a couple of things from that verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's something that I have, but I can only think about it. I can only know about it. I can't touch it. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've heard people say when I was growing up and in my early adult life, that's a faithful person there. He never misses a single service. That's something they could see. The only way I'd know if that man had any faith or not is if he told me he did. I can't tell by looking at someone or by what they do, what they believe, and what they think of themselves as far as being saved or not. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not seen. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, let's talk about faith a little bit. So we know it comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. Romans 10. Romans 10:17. And that's where we talked about faith cometh by hearing. Okay. Let's go to Titus 3:15. All they that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. This faith that Paul's talking about, love us in the faith. Look at Romans 20. Romans 4:20, rather. Romans 3:20. I'll get it right in a minute. I think that's right. I can't read my own writing. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, which is without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all that believe, for there's no difference. Now that's the faith that I heard about. And that's the faith that Paul was talking about. And I look and I say, let me read that again. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Now, if I'm righteous before God, I'm perfect. And all of a sudden, this right here went away. This burden that I had from the time I believed and the time I'm saved, I'm made righteous. This perfection that comes. Oh, what a great thought. What a great thought. That I don't have to reach this state of perfection. In God's sight, I'm righteous. And what I have to do now? What do I have to go out and not miss a service at church and always be doing good works, never have a bad thought? Is that what it says? It says, unto all and upon all them that believe. It's unto us and it's upon us that believe. Being justified freely by His grace. And we know that grace is unmerited favor and it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Whom God has set forth, He's talking about Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that we might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Where is boasting?
There's not any.
Not any. It's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's not about what someone sees me do. Good or bad. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How can I boast about something? About anything? It's not about me. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. And that faith comes upon me by my belief in that faith and what it accomplished. In verse 28 it says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith. Here's an interesting point, too. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision, which is us in this room, through faith. It's a great difference there. That's why there's a difference in this idea about faith when we look at Revelations and when we look at Hebrews and when we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's a difference. That's clearly a difference, isn't it? One is by and the other is through. Look at Galatians 3. Verse 2. We talked about hearing. We hear God, and we obey. That's been true since Adam. We hear God, and we obey. That's what happened to Abraham, Isaac, and that great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11 of Hebrews. They heard and they obeyed. And that's been the way everyone has been saved, through faith, by faith. It has to do with faith. Verse 2. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I heard about faith, and it wasn't my faith. I heard about it first, that it was Christ's faith. And I just had to believe that. And when I heard that, I believed it. Didn't write it first. But February of 2003, while I was driving down the road, the light came on. And I realized that it wasn't about me. It wasn't about what I had done or what I was going to do or what I promised to do. It had to do with what Christ did on the cross for me.
Amen.
And it was His faith. And after that, my mind was settled. I didn't have to reach this state of perfection. There was not a list of the things to do for me to attain perfection. It was already done. And once a person realizes that and believes that, it's not about me, it's about what Christ did on the cross for me. He died for my sins. His blood took care of the whole thing. And we're made righteous. We're justified. Right then, not some point in the future, right then. And it can't be undone. We're going to talk about that a little more, prove that point. Look at verse 22 in chapter 3 of Galatians. Now, it appears to me from reading this verse, and you might not agree, but it appears to me from reading this verse, and look at verse 22. I'm thinking of verse 23, but let's look at verse 22 first. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin. That's me, you, everyone in this room. Everyone's under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And then Paul says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now, who revealed that faith? Apparently it came to Paul, that faith. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And who do we say that this justification, whose faith that justified us?
Christ.
Jesus Christ's faith. Now, the faith that we're talking about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not this faith. I don't care what you say. It's not this faith. This is the through faith that we were talking about. Through faith. This whole idea of hoping for something you can't see. And having confidence in it. And that's what Christ did. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again, and he knew that was going to happen, and he had confidence in it. If he hadn't had confidence in it, we had no hope. We would have no hope now. But he rose from the dead. We have to believe in that. In that alone. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, once I have this faith enough that I believe this, that I believe that Christ died for my sins, once I have that, what does this verse say? For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's that faith that took him to the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And we were justified, made righteous, children of God. Now, let me ask you. If you're born to a parent in this country, and I can't think of any time in the history of man that if you're born to a parent or parents, you're their child. And it never has been a case where a child grows up and that child misbehaves and you become not a child of a set of parents. Now, I don't think God would have used the term child if he meant something else. And how clear this is. In all my life, I've read the Bible. And I thought that God would put me up for adoption to someone else. The devil, I guess. If I misbehaved. Once having been saved. That I would not be his son anymore if I should fall away. But that's not true. Because once you're a child, you're a child. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then you're of Abraham's seed. But the idea is, we've been baptized into Christ. And you know, I find out in 1 Corinthians 12:13, that's not about me. It's not about me walking down the aisle, going to the front of the church, shaking the preacher's hand, telling him I want to be baptized. It says the Spirit baptizes. And I find out that's not anything about me. The Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. It's not water. And so I've been led astray all my life on that idea. It's not about me. It's not about you either. Okay, so we find out what that faith that we're talking about. And another thing I said, the faith was a mystery. Faith came. Paul said faith after faith came. Let's look at that just a minute. Look, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, and thank goodness it doesn't, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What do y'all, who you think that is? Israel. But we are also perfect, aren't we? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world and to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, that means that what Paul preached, this faith that Paul talked about, they didn't know it in the New Testament because it said God ordained it before the world unto our glory. And if had they known about this faith, had they known about what Christ did, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. So we know that from the time that Paul received this message, which was in about Acts 9, that no one knew about it. That's why Hebrews, which is written to the tribulation, the Hebrews, scattered Hebrews, written to them to reassure them during the tribulation as they go into the tribulation. Revelation, which is written to Israel, who will be going through the tribulation. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who've written to Israel. And it's about Christ's ministry to Israel. All of that, at that time, those folks didn't know about this faith. Okay, convert in Galatians 1. The devil didn't know about the faith. So it's a mystery. In Galatians 2, Verse 7. Paul talks. He met with the apostles, the other apostles, Peter, James, and John. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Here's a difference in gospels, and we won't get into all of that, but there's a difference. Paul had a gospel. It was to the uncircumcision, and the two gospels were different. Paul had this mystery. And look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that Paul had. You don't hear Peter talking about the faith of Christ. You don't hear about any of the other apostles talking about the faith of Christ. And it said, and you don't hear any other apostles talking about that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You only hear this through Paul. And then when I saw this, I said, I've been struggling all of my life with this whole thing, trying to be justified by what I do. And it's not about what I do. Clearly shows that. It clearly says that.
Right. One part of the Great Commission, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, what a relief it comes on you when you realize that you don't have to earn anything. It's all been done.
Amen.
It's all been done. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live is in the flesh. I live by my faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what I think about when I read that verse? It's Jesus Christ telling me, he says, don't you worry about anything whatever. You don't have to muster up any more faith. I'll take care of that. I took care of it. I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Like Paul said in verse 21, it's a gift. Grace is unmerited favor. Trust in what Christ did. This faith that Christ had. Trust in that. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You know what? In my mind, Christ, I made Christ's death vanity all of my life because I thought that something, I can do it. It's all about me. I'm going to have to do something. If I could do it, Christ died in vain. Now you tell me who can do it. The Pope? No one can do it. I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. In Ephesians, Galatians 1. I don't know if we covered this one or not, but Galatians 1, 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul got this revelation. Peter, James, and John didn't know about it. They didn't preach it. This gospel that Paul got, this mystery. If we look in Ephesians 4, we find out a little more about this faith, and we know that there's one faith. There's not more than one faith. There's one faith. 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, there was a point in time where there was not this unity. You had Jews and you had Gentiles. And there was not a unity between the two. But now we know that there's only one. Paul says it. One. It's neither Jew nor Gentile. Bond nor free. There's a unity of faith. So I can't have this faith that Israel had and the actions that they did because of their faith and what we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I can't look at that and decide anything for myself. I mean, I can learn things from it, but it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Israel. Now there's one body, one baptism. Now I know that Peter got up in Acts 2, Acts 2 and 3. He got up and preached the first gospel message. I grew up with Peter's first gospel message. And you know he never mentioned in that message, read it for yourself, that Christ died for our sins. But all of my life, I was taught that Acts 2 was the first gospel message. That's because there was disunity. There was Israel and there were Gentiles. Now there's unity. There's a different gospel for us. Christ died for our sins. Peter didn't mention that. And he talked about a baptism. And that baptism was with water. No doubt about it. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you is what Peter said. He wasn't talking about anything but water. Now there's one baptism. And it's not by water. Baptism by the Spirit. Into the body. We're put in Christ. So, what now? This faith that I realized is there falls right in line with this unity. One faith, one baptism, one Lord. Means it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, or what you might do in the future. God will save you through faith. Faith of Christ and believing in what Christ did for us. The faith that he had. Christ believed that he would die and be raised again. And he knew he was taking my sins with him to the cross. I'm dead. I paid my price because I was there with Christ. My sins are paid for. No doubt about it. I'm not going to finish this again today. Now, let's go back to Galatians. Let's look again at Romans 3:22. And we're going to finish up real quickly. Romans 3:22. Here again, we want to just review this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. This righteousness that comes to us through belief in what Christ did on the cross for us. Belief in Christ. We put our confidence in what Christ did. We trust in it. And we forget about it. There's no more to be done in terms of our salvation. Well, what exactly happens? In Galatians 3:22 again. But the Scripture concluded, all understand that the promise of, by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which afterwards should be revealed. In Ephesians 1:13, when we believe, Ephesians 1:13, that we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, that's that simple faith right there. First trusted in Christ. Now, didn't say I first trusted that I could do something, that I could measure up. Said I first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. And I've been, what we've been talking about this morning is the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, how that Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and He rose again. You being justified by the very fact that He paid for all your sins. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now when that seal's put on you, it says you're a child of God. You're sealed. You're saved. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That's it. It's done. You're sealed. It's done. You're going to receive this promise. We find out it's a new body. We're all going to be at some point. Either we're dead and we rise, or we're still alive and we rise to meet the Lord in the air. And at that point, we're going to get the promise. This new body. The day of redemption. And so ever we shall ever be with the Lord. Ephesians 4. And then I'm going to stop. And it's the same thought. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let down in verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Not will forgive you. He hath, which is past tense. He's already done it. Faith came with Paul. And I'd been struggling with this faith all of my life. And when I started looking at what Paul said, I realized it was not about me. It's about what Christ did on the cross for me. And it's a done deal. All you have to do is trust in that. And that's all the faith you need. On through.